As you know, we've been in our series, which is our season to bless. We're talking about blessing people with our words. If you haven't gotten into the idea of just saying, God bless you to others, you've kind of forgot about that very, very biblical, purposeful posture that God intends for us to bless others. We're called to be a blessing. We are blessed, but you're not the end result. I know that's a bummer. It's like, I thought I'm the end result to everything, but God wants you to share your blessings with others, even especially with your words. And so that's important for us. We've been dealing with that. We've been seeing that in a very biblical way. So today, our message is passing a blessing on. We're really going to just say, hey, these are very simple approaches, but I'm telling you, as you bless others, you in turn will be blessed. So I think we're going to let the scriptures speak to us. So instead of me opening up the service in prayer, we're going to just bless one another. We saw in Numbers chapter 6, God said to the priest, this is how you're going to bless the people. You bless them this way. Make sure they hear it. So let's take a look. The scripture's up there, Numbers 6, 24. And it says this. Let's say it out loud. And if you don't mind, you know somebody comfortable enough, just kind of reach over, maybe put your little fingertip on their shoulders and just speak, or speak it into the air, because we're going to pronounce that blessing on each other. Here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Isn't it interesting what we just did to pronounce that blessing over each other, that the Lord make provision and protection over you. The Lord allow that graciousness of his, really, that salvation permeate everything of your life, that literally that his glory surround you and keep you from evil, that the Lord would bring his peace upon you and make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And then verse 27, as you can see so clearly, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will what?
Bless them.
I will bless them. Now, there's something that's, what does that mean, blessed? Well, it just, I like to just say it means your life work out. It just means your life's going to work out. Stuff happens. Not everything happens to us that good, but I love Romans 8, 28, being confident is the very thing that He really, when it comes right down to that, whatever happens to us, God's able to turn things out for good. Amen. So not everything happens to us is good, but he's the only one that can turn it out for good. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen. And it really comes down, if you want to deal with the element of the biblical approach, that means a person's either blessed or they're cursed. And man, and God in his goodness still wants to help us in so many ways. So again, when people say, well, what does it mean to bless somebody? I would just like to say, don't even worry about number six or anything else. Just speak the best good you can over them, because you have that ability, you who are believers in Jesus, you have that ability to bring the kingdom of God down. So let's take a look here in our notes. Let's go to first point, call to bless others. That's our reminder, but we've been called to bless others. What we have discovered is because of our faith in Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, you can write it down and look at it later or go back to our first part of this four-part series. It's because your faith in Jesus that the blessings of Abraham come on you. So you're blessed with that same promise of Abraham. So you're blessed, you go about and bless others. But God just doesn't want to bless you. He expects us to bless others. So our series has 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Let's take a look at that. It's a reminder to us because the message, the first point, call to bless others. Let's look here. It says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. I see that. You see that? He's called you to bless. We can retaliate, but that's just not what Christians do. We're actually called to be peacemakers. Listen, if you haven't discovered this world, currently it's a violent and it's a dark world. We're to live a radically different life. And so to bring a blessing upon others, now I like that because it says that God will grant you his blessing. How does that work? Well, you know, when it comes right down to that, it's interesting because you might find if somebody just really comes on strong, maybe at work or at school, and you're like, what do you do? It's kind of like, honey, come here. This guy at work is just driving me crazy. I am so upset. What should we do? Well, let's do what God's word says. Let's just pray a blessing on them. Maybe you can even ask, what can I pray for you about? Now, that's pretty incredible, so important. Matter of fact, Jesus drives it home a little bit more. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Remember I said, let's let the word of God speak to us. Matthew 5, 44, Jesus says about blessing your enemies, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Man, that's pretty impressive. You don't do that without being born again. There's no way you're going to do something like that. Everything in me wants to retaliate. Matter of fact, if I'm not praying and keeping myself in a posture of saying, oh yeah, I am a Christian and Jesus is my Lord, I could easily go back to getting offended. Now, we all have wounds. If we haven't been wounded by somebody, we can at least say, have you ever wounded someone? Because it goes in both directions. I've wounded and I've also been wounded. And something about a wound. Have you ever, a physical wound, it festers. You get something that slices you open and you just kind of work it. It opens and it gets bothered. And it's very disruptive, and you know it's there. You remember that toe still swelling. It's painful. But eventually that wound becomes something what we call a scar. I've got a couple of scars. I got a scar here when I rode my trike right into the palm tree. It's still been with me, just so I've been a better driver ever since. But we have something about a scar, you kind of know, oh yeah, that happened there. That took place then. But you can touch it and it doesn't hurt. A lot of times I have told people, why is that person so controlling you? Well, they've hurt me. Every time I think about them, it just festers. And I'll say, why don't you pray for your enemies, a blessing upon them? And they really think I'm kidding. I don't blame them. Would you? Man, I sin. I want mercy. But somebody does that to me, sins against me, and I want judgment. Sick 'em. Lightning bolts with a little flare. But God says he wants to bring salvation and some wholeness to people in society. And you're the catalyst. When that person edges and harms you like that, it's a good chance they're probably, if they're a Christian, they're backslidden. They need awakening. They need a reviving. You could be that interference, that intercessor to pray. That's what God has to say. So I have found, because of wounds of the past, when I pray a blessing for my enemies, and I'll call them that because they've done me wrong, that wound that is so festered, starts to seal, and it becomes a scar. I remember it, but it doesn't hurt anymore. I can touch it. I can even talk about it. And it's so much better. Try it. You got somebody that's been harming you. We know we all have an adversary. He's the devil, but man, he sure attacks us through people. So it's not always people that hurt you. Okay? Good. Well, say, that's a good word, Pastor Paul. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Romans 12, 19. Take a look, see what else he has to say here. It says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. I like that, don't you? Like, sick 'em, Jesus. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're doing this, in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Man, I like that. Probably the thing that really has come to light, since we're all reading through the Bible together, we've already gone through the book of Job. I remember when I was a newborn Christian, and I was looking for work, and I saw, job, oh, I need a job. I'll read that one first. What? What? This guy loses it all. But something happens that I think is worth noting, because Job prays for his three friends. Now, I say friends, you remember, you read Job. They come along and they realize, whoa, Job gets annihilated and he's filled with sores and his seven sons and three daughters are killed and everything stolen or destroyed. So most of you might call him Job's comforters, which is it's a play on words saying these guys are bad news because they view Job's demise. Job, something's wrong with Job. He sins because God doesn't do this. And look what happens. This is important. Job's going to ask to pray for these guys, and blessings come. Check it out with me. I brought this in because it's a great example about praying for those that really hurt your feelings. And God asks for that. Let's look at Job 42. It's toward the end of the book of Job, which is just before Psalms. But it says, and after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer. Isn't that interesting? Take a look at that. I don't want you praying. I'll accept Job's prayers on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayers, or prayer, one prayer. That's a powerful thing. What did Job pray? Probably, Lord, restore these men. I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, restore these men and bless these men. Amen. Now, when Job did that, something is very eye-opening, because the following verse 10, check it out with me, it says, and when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Can you check that out just for a moment? He doubled everything, twice as much. Now, what is worth noting here is that as Job prayed, and I'm grateful for the cross of Jesus, because we don't need to offer sacrifices anymore. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for being on the cross where forgiveness of sins abounds. He is the final sacrifice. But we still need to pray. And what happened, and this is a side note for you, if you've ever lost family members, they're still alive. Everybody lives forever, by the way. Everybody lives forever. Some to heaven, eternal life. Some not in heaven, eternal damnation. But we all live forever. That's important to know. But I think what's noted here, if you were to take a look at Job, is that in the follow on down is that God restored to Job just another 7 children of sons and another 3 daughters. So if you look at Job chapter 1, verse 3, he has an original 7 sons and an original 3 daughters. So God doesn't double everything, he doubles, but he doesn't double his children because his children are already there in heaven. So they are doubled, but I just want to make the point, it's interesting. That was one thing God did not double. So if you've lost children to death, then you must realize they're very much alive. Glory to God. I like that, don't you? It's a little side note. I think it'll be helpful if you're dealing with people who have had loss. But it is important. God restores quality and quantity as we even obey him about praying for even our enemies. That's important. Please recognize and remember. I find it so in keeping with the hand because God is such a giver. He's such a giver. And we know in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, when Jesus says, give and it'll be given to you. I like that, don't you? Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over, will men give to you. For the same measure with which you give, it'll be given back to you. I'm just saying, don't forget to say a blessing over people, even your enemies, even your enemies. So for many of you, and I'm so grateful, a lot of you have been talking about how God's been restoring wealth even, wealth of ministry, even skill sets have been coming back, an ability to just enjoy things. It's just incredible how God starts to restore. I believe that. It's the way God rolls. He's not stingy, but it has much to do with our ability to obey. Remember we used the phrase, it pays to obey. Everybody say that with me. It pays to obey. Because we follow and we live and serve the Lord. So that's important for us to recognize that. Let's go to number 2. Receiving a blessing from others. That's also, you say, well, what does that look like to receive a blessing? Well, I think we're most comfortable giving something away, don't we? It's very difficult to receive something from someone. We have a hard time with that. Most of us do. Most of us have a hard time because it somehow shows that maybe we could be in need. It appears that we're needy. I don't like that. Oh, no, hold on. You don't need to. I get a little embarrassed. Sometimes we don't come up to the prayer wall because it might show that, well, maybe people might be thinking something negative of me. Man, we just have to press through that. I think that humble approach really brings some of the greatest grace. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So it's important for us. And you who are joining us, I'm so glad that you're here. Boy, I feel that the Lord wants you to just experience with such courage in the most maybe humbling approach. Watch, your greatest breakthrough will come when you just address a particular need. I have a need. Many closeted Christians saying, well, I'll just pray. I don't need to tell anybody what I'm in need of. But we're just talking about receiving a blessing here. When somebody just comes along and just blesses you. And it's interesting because when we take a look at that, now they're not, you might know somebody's background, their life may not be where it's at, and that's one thing. But when people speak, God bless you, have you ever came across somebody and the response is, and I don't really like, I don't prefer the response, for example, when I say, God bless you, and they say, he has and he does. That sounds good, huh? But let's be careful because so many churchy things are learned. We don't even know what we're saying. He has and he does. To me, I want to just believe that that's probably the best intentions. Maybe it's kind of like an amen, huh?
Amen.
But it comes across really kind of rude, harsh. I don't need anybody's blessing. That's what I thought. What? I don't want it. You don't have to bless me. You keep it, man. I got my own. What? He has and he does. Yeah, keep it. and I need it. So let's not let the next generation learn that. Well, what should I say, Pastor Paul? Thank you for asking. Just say, thank you, I need it. That's really, thank you. I receive that. Literally, I will say to some of you or email back, I am so blessed by your words. And I really mean that. Take that. And I affirm that. And I'm grateful. So let's be careful about that. Anybody say he has and he does, you say, excuse me? Let's go at that again. So it's important. You know, your blessing can't come back to you. Now let me prove it to you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 5, it's listed there under point 2. In Luke 10, Jesus says to his disciples, whatever house you go into, speak peace to that home. This is how much dynamic, atmospheric change you can bring to any situation. I've shared with you how when Ainsley and I travel, whatever apartment or new place you have, or even a room that somebody lets you just go in there and clean it, I bless it in the name of Jesus. Anything that's not of God, get out in Jesus' name. This is my turf while I'm paying this exorbitant sum for this room of $190. And I don't even get here 24 hours. I got to check out before. See how bitterness rolls. It really gets to you. Just. But Jesus said something here in Luke chapter 10, verse 5. And whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the peace, the blessing will stay. That blessing will stand. There's something about that blessing that just holds off stuff. If they are not a peaceful bunch, they don't want it. They're not into it. And it says that the blessing will return to who? Yes. There's something with that. There's like this blessing that's out there. You just spoke it over each other. See, I have told you, you will never give something to someone you don't perceive you have it. I'm not blessed. Who am I? Yes, you are. We go by the word of God. So you go into that home, if somebody ever asks you to pray the blessing over the food, you know, the word grace, then you be so honored and capable to just say, I want to just bless this family, bless this home. Yeah, just at least do that. Don't forget to bless the food. I've had people go on and like 30 minutes later, they haven't even mentioned the food yet. And so we'd like to eat. But you understand. But it's very, very important. We're blessing the person's hands now at the bottom of their souls, and they're going to go up to the head. We're talking, bless the food so we can eat. Anyway, that's okay. So it's important. If somebody in the home is a person of peace, your peace will remain. But God wants you to have a good experience. You go in there. You're the game changer. You're the game changer. And if you haven't been speaking peace, it's important. And let's take a look. Number 3, giving a blessing to others. This is just by way of reminder. We're taking a look at that. What is important about a blessing is that people, by and large, they really need to hear it. So much of what we receive comes through the ear gate and the eye gate, but I mean, our 5 senses, the touch, but hearing is so significant. Speak words over them. Well, it's just like in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Because a person's not going to get born again. They won't become a Christian unless somebody tells them. That's what the scripture says. You can pray all you want, oh Lord, get them saved. What you should be praying, send a laborer to tell them, or I'm going in to tell them. How Jesus gave his life for them to have life. But look at verse 14 in Romans 10, verse 14. Now, how can they call on him to save them unless They believe in him. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? So it's important. We've all received salvation because somebody told us about Jesus. Yes. Wow. Or we read the words about Jesus. And it says, verse 17, move on down a little bit. Verse 17, Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing. So a person, it will do them good to hear you say, God bless you, my son. God bless you, little one. They may not even know what you actually say, but there's something that's going on in the heavenlies because you spoke that blessing. So faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So it's important that we recognize that and the significance of that. Now, here are some ways. Here are some ways, because I like James. You can write that down. James 2, 17 says, you have faith and I have good works. I can show you my faith by my good works. I bet you can't show me your faith by just doing nothing. So it helps to do something. Here are some ways. And one, letter A, by scripture. You can bless somebody by sharing Bible verses that bless them. You really cannot miss it by sharing a Bible verse. Literally, as you are reading through your Bible, about three chapters a day, our annual Bible reading, hope you're doing it. Can't wait to have that steak dinner with you who have completed the journey, a.k.a. by December 31st. But we're back here. We're looking here because it says so clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, Bible says it's inspired. That word means God breathed. Like when the day God made Adam and then he breathed in him the breath of life. I'm telling you, there's something about this book. It is incredible. It is not like any other book. It's incredible, miraculous material that we have in our laps, but and get it into our hearts. But it is a nice way when you read and you realize a verse pops out and then God reminds you about a person that you just knew is going through something and you text them that verse or you call them up even better, say, hey, you know what, I have a verse that just came to mind with your name on it. I'm telling you, that so blesses people. How many have ever received a Bible verse from somebody, just kind of like random out of the blue? Raise your hand nice and high. Nice. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Credible.
Yes.
That's a blessing that we can all do. It's rich and it's wonderful. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Apostle Paul is writing the church, and he's so thankful that they received the word like it is the word of truth. And I was impressed, because not everybody's going to read the Bible or you share the scripture and they say, ah, that's great. Others, like, whatever. But check it out what he says here. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. I know this word's transformed my life, and you have experienced that too. What a way to bless people. To take something you've read, something that's meaningful to you, literally this is how it is. We'll find a verse. And then all of a sudden, somebody we come in contact with, like, man, do I got a promise for you? They're looking at a verse Ainsley has posted on our little jewelry box. It's Romans 11:33. It's a great verse because we're going through the book of Revelation and other things of the end times, the unsearchable riches of God. It's incredible, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. It's like, wow. So we love things like that. It's like, that speaks. I'm living that. I'm going through that. So it's important for us we get a chance, because God says in Isaiah 55:11, you can write it down, nothing keeps back his word from accomplishing what he's intended. His word never returns void, never. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will prosper in the thing in which I sent it. You get to be that funnel. You get to be that mouthpiece. But it's God's word that produces. Bless somebody with a Bible verse this week. Give it a shot. They may not even know how to respond. It's like, what? What's going on? But they'll know, especially fill your heart with joy when they say, man, I really needed to hear just that word. That is so rad. It's incredibly rich and wonderful. And second area is affirmation. Kind words that build people up. Kind words. I like this because in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, New Living Translation says this, 4:19 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who, what? Hear them. We've all had derogatory things said over us, but God's word says, make sure you say things that really are encouraging. I really like the New King James Version, which says, let's go to that one, same verse, Ephesians 4:29. New King James says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. I love that. Something comes that, like the grace of God happens when you speak words that build people up. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, and it came right down to that. And if you at home happen to be married, just want a little tidbit, isn't it how you fell in love with that person you're married to in case things are kind of in shambles now? Because we fall in love with people who affirm us. They notice the way you did things. They even said, hey, I like the way you handled that. Man, people who like the way we do what we do, we fall in love. You do? You like that? I want to say go back to doing that. Speak words of life to that person. Change the corrupt communication. Get it out. And go back to doing the first things that caused you to fall in love. It'll be a snap, and you're going to see great things. It's important. Now, how do you do that with your enemies? Say you might have a neighbor that you could say, man, my neighbor really bothers me up the wazoo. Don't translate that, but we'll edit that one. But you say, hey, good neighbor, just want to tell you the positive thing, right? I'm so grateful the way you let your dog do doo-doos on my doorstep. Look how green my lawn is. Thank you. I'm going to return the blessing. Yeah, you just have to think of some things that... All right, well... But isn't it wonderful to come along and say, hey, dear neighbor, come here. Mitchie, my friend, I will thank God for you, the strength you show, the trustworthiness. I see it in your life, the spirit, that joy in your life. That really, I always like to see that in you. I tell you, you tell somebody like that, they will not leave you alone. They're going to wait for another good word of encouragement. You just bless that person. We all need to be affirmed, do we not? Anybody here? I do. So significant. Letter C, expression. Write notes that make an impression. Write notes. How important is that to write notes? I'll tell you, I'm so grateful. I have a drawer full of nice letters and cards and emails. That's a keeper. I'm going to keep that right here. It seems like every now and then a Monday comes along and say, my other drawer has my resignation letter. Which one do I pick today? And I pull out, and it's like, oh, I just needed to read that. I'm only human. I need those elements of blessing. It's so significant for that to happen. And so we come along and have nice words that we write, thank you notes that express something. I like Romans chapter 16. We won't go there. We'll go quickly for our last passage this morning in Colossians. But Romans 16, I'm always impressed. The most outstanding book in the Bible, the most doctrinally deep book in the Bible, the book of Romans, ends on relationships. Chapter 16, we call it Paul's friends. He says, oh, we remember you. You're my mother in faith. I remember you. God bless you. It's great. And he says something here in Colossians. He starts bragging on people and talking about them and remembering them. And Paul wasn't just all about writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but he remembered people that made an impression on him. And he blessed them. Check it out with me. It's a good example. And we're grateful because now we've got these letters, and I call them God's love letters to you and me. But in Colossians chapter 4, check it out with me, verse 12. He writes, Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you, and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Emphia and the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them and say to Acropolis, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. That's pretty powerful. You have relationships. You can write notes. You remember that. Write notes to people in your family. It means so much. They will not forget that, but it brings life to them. I want to take a moment now. Let's do something. We started off speaking a blessing over, and we're going to just now pray a blessing over each other. Let's do that. Let's take a moment before we depart for lunch, because we're talking about passing a blessing on. Wouldn't it be fun? I would like it. If you feel comfortable, we're going to simply do this. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you join me? Stand in your feet. You who are home, hoping that you're not alone by yourself, but if you are there by yourself on your tablet or smartphone, then you can pray for me. I would like that very much. And just pray, what should we pray? You just pray the best good that you can think of, and maybe even that mere stranger. You don't even know that person. But watch the Holy Spirit speak something of just goodness. Just help that person, Lord. You know what they're... Anything. Just the best good you possibly can. So we're going to take a moment to do that. I would love it that you would be able to speak it loud enough, and may this room be filled with a lot of chatter. And just hear the murmur of God's people praying a blessing. We won't take long. So if you can, would you find somebody and just... maybe just introduce yourself, your first name, and just pray a blessing. Let them hear it. They may have a hard time hearing it, but God's Holy Spirit will do that. Just turn to that person, introduce yourself, and then first person, pray a good blessing. Here we go. Just go for it.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.